message online, we want to say thank you for taking the time to tune in to hear this word. But more importantly, we want to extend a blessing upon your life, as well as invite you to come on out and be in service with us one Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. We would love to have you, your family, and friends. Amen, church? Amen. To come on out and be a part of the fellowship. If you can, I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in a series entitled Increasing as God Causes You to Increase. Our foundational verse of scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Now, we've already established that everything that God does will always be for a cause and for a purpose. And we stated that there is absolutely no plan, no blessing, no promise that God will provide us that is not for our good or without a purpose. In the book of Romans chapter 8, 28, it says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. Last week, we left off talking about increasing with the increase of God. And we described many of God's attributes, and one in specific that we described or we shared that talks about God's ability to supply all needs and fulfill all purposes. And that description or that name is El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 50, two verses there, 10 and 11, God says, "For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills," he says, "are mine." Verse 11, he says, "I know all of the birds of the mountains, and the wilder beasts of the fields," he says, "are mine." So God says, everything belongs to me. Amen. You don't sustain me, I sustain you. Can I get another amen? Amen. He is all sufficient. He has the capability to supply every single need simultaneously and fulfill every purpose in your life, in my life, and whoever's life. He is the El Shaddai. Now, in the book of Acts, if you would go there in chapter 17, it gives more verification and confirms that God is self-sufficient and that he doesn't need man to be sustained by man, but rather we need him. Jesus said it very clearly, that I am the vine and you are the branches. And he said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. In other words, you need me. I don't need you. And so our Al Shaddai, this all-sufficient God, makes it very clear in the book of Acts, chapter 7, starting at verse 24. It says that the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he give to all life and breath and all things. And he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So God says, all things were made by me, and I did it for a purpose. Are you listening to me? All nations, all hands are to worship me. I give life and breath to all things. And I've made it, verse 26, of one blood, all nations of man to dwell in the face of the earth, cause and purpose. I am the El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient God. And so what we are discussing is a question that was brought out last week, which was, how do we increase with the increase of God? How do we increase with the increase of God? I gave you three things that we must fully be convinced of before we can even experience the increase. Number one, I said we must be fully persuaded that God wants to increase you. Now, why would I introduce that one as a statement? Because you will be surprised that there are a lot of Christians and believers and children of God who are not fully persuaded that God wants to do things in their life, that God wants to perform miracles in their life, that God wants to provide for them and God wants to deliver them and bring increase in their life. So we have to be fully persuaded that God wants to. So much scripture proves that God is interested not only in your life, but he wants to make your life better and better. We'll read scripture probably later that says that he wants to increase you more and more. And not just you, but your children. Second thing we have to be convinced of is that we have to believe that God will. He will increase you. Not just he want to, but he will do it. I think it's one thing to go around confessing scriptures. It's another thing when you actually believe it. It's like what the scripture says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. Not a hearer only. Amen. Don't just come into service and hear the word of God, get emotional, get excited, and walk out with the same attitude, doubt, worry. No, he wants to increase you. And the third thing we said, we have to live like you deserve it. You have to live like you deserve to have increase. I deserve to be blessed. Hello, somebody. If I'm sick in my body, I deserve to be healed. Hello. Hello. If I'm having confusion, I deserve to have peace. I deserve to prosper. Come on. I deserve to be blessed. You got to live like you deserve it. Don't just take the scriptures as it being text in some kind of paper, ink on paper, but that is for you. The scripture is written for you. All of God's promises are what? Yes. And so be it. You got to live like you deserve to have increase in your life. You got to live. You got to live like you deserve to be blessed. And you got to be persuaded of that. So then how do we increase with the increase of God? The one I gave you, I'm going to pick it up here, is that you simply have to follow his instructions. That's number one. If I want to increase with the increase of God, I have to follow his instructions. Every person that God has promised, has made a promise to, or have given increase to, he first gave them instructions. Are you listening to me? He didn't just do something for them and things didn't just happen for them. God says, here's the instructions. Here's the command. Follow it. So every person that God has made a promise to, every person that God has caused increase to happen in their life, the first thing that came was instructions. Deuteronomy read it 15, verse 5. He says, only if you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all of these commandments, which I command you this day. Only if you listen. Observe to do what I tell you to do. That's the instructions. And from that, you can experience the increase. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, the writer said, my son, hear the instructions of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. Verse 9, why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Follow the instructions, basically what he's saying. Listen to the orders and the directions that are given to you. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, God is big on instructions. Oh, yeah, God is big on instructions. When he tells you something, he expects and he wants you to do it. Because what follows the instructions are the blessings. Are you listening to me? So simply by following his instructions positions you to increase with his increase. I want everybody to get Proverbs chapter 3. Please, Proverbs chapter 3. Are you still with me this morning? And so I want to increase with the increase of God. I want to take the first step, which is I want to see what God or hear what God tells me to do. Do we not realize that most of what we fail to achieve and receive from God is not because God is denying us what he has promised us? In fact, can I go a little further to say that it is not always the devil's fault in intervening and preventing us from receiving what we know God has said in his word? No, it is the lack of following instructions. Because if you and I do exactly what God says, listen, there is no devil in hell, no co-worker, no supervisor. No one can stop you from receiving what God has promised you if you follow the instructions. Point blank. In Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 1 and 2. The writer says, my son, forget not my laws, but let your heart keep my commandments. He goes on to say, for length of days and long life and peace shall be added to you. My commandments, if they're followed, my instructions, if they're followed, are going to bring peace and long life into your life. Somebody say increase. Oh, long days, that's increase. Come on. Length of days and long life, that's increase. But then he says peace. Can I read the same verses out of the contemporary translation? It says, my child, remember my teaching and instructions and obey them completely. They will help you live a long and prosperous life. I know it sounds simple, but it really is. Follow the instructions. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. Go there if you would. You're already in Proverbs. Go to chapter 4. And I want to read that out of the contemporary translation. You get Proverbs chapter 24. And I want to read verse 25 to 27. The contemporary translation says, keep looking straight ahead without turning aside. Verse 26, know where you are headed and you will stay on solid ground. 27, don't make a mistake by turning to the right or to the left. That's the instructions. Just keep going forward. Keep your eyes like flint. Don't look to the left or don't look to the right. Anybody listening to me? That's the instructions. Don't deviate. Don't add anything to what I've told you to do. Don't bring anyone else into the plan that I didn't tell you to bring into the plan. Follow the instructions. Somebody say, follow the instructions. You want to increase with the increase of God, then do what God tells you to do. That's it. No demon in hell. No co-worker. Nobody can sabotage or stop what God's going to do in your life if you follow the instructions. The second thing I will give you, another way to increase with the increase of God, is by increasing your capacity to receive. I'll say it again. We're talking about increasing with. Now listen to it. With the increase of God. How do you do that? Well, you have to increase your capacity to receive. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, listen to this, verse 20, it tells, now unto him that is able to do, who is that? God. Able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you act or think according to the power that works in us. Increasing our capacity allows us to increase with the increase of God. Please note this down, and that is God will never promise you, or put it this way, God will promise you more than enough, but he will never give you more than you can handle. Can I say it again? He is the God of abundance. So he will always promise you more than enough, but he will never give you more than you can handle. Somebody let that sink in. Let me take it a little further, explain it to you. If God suddenly dropped, let's say, $1 million into your lap, just out of nowhere, into your lap, what would you do with it? And would you actually be able to handle that? Now, I know everybody going to say, yeah, I can take it. But can you really handle it? You see, God will always promise you more than enough, but he will never give you more than you can handle. Your capacity has to be such that you can actually contain it. Anybody listening to me? How about if God gave you a huge piece of property? Or a huge business opportunity. Would you be able to handle that? Would you know how to run that business? Would you know how to take care of that property? Do you have the capacity or the wherewithal to handle, let's say, more employees? Let's bring it home. Do we have the capacity? and the wherewithal to handle more souls. I want to increase with the increase of God. And what I have to do, I have to increase my capacity to receive it. It is no question that God wants to increase us. The scripture tells us in Psalms 115, verse 13 and 14, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. So it is clear. That's His intentions, and that's what He wants to do. But do I have the capacity to be able to handle all of what God has in mind to give me? Am I really prepared to take it to the next level? Anybody listening to me? I desire bigger and better things. Do I have the capacity to maintain those things when I get them? The scripture says, if you are unfaithful with little, you will be unfaithful with much, meaning you don't have the capacity to get everything that God wants to give you. So He will always promise you more, but He will never give you more than you can handle. The question is not whether God can or will increase us, but rather do we have the capacity to receive it? My wife and I have been strategic for many, many years, and we've gotten better at it as years have gone on. And we have been strategic in making sure we have positioned ourselves for more of what God wants to give us. And we've looked at our income, we've looked at our finances, and we made a strategic, concentrated effort in making sure we manage what we have and eliminate bills that we have and not overextend ourselves, because we wanted to be in a position that when God says now, we have the capacity. And so I want you to think about it. To increase with the increase of God, ask yourself the question, have I increased my capacity to receive what God has for me? Repeat after me. Say, God.
God.
Come on, I need everybody to say it. Say, God.
God.
Increase,
increase
my capacity,
to receive.
All right, now He heard you. He heard you. He's going to require some things of you. He heard you. All right. Heaven and earth has bear witness on what you just stated. Let's move on. Let me give you four ways to help you, at least get you started, to increase your capacity. Real quickly, I want to give you four ways. Number one, and this is common, everybody should know it, and that is give. That's it. Give. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. And then it talks about increase. It says, good measures pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. In other words, the increase come. So to increase my capacity, one of the things I can do is just give myself, making room for good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom. Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, the writer tells us, verse 35, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving actually increases your capacity. It gives God the permission to say, God, I'm making room for more, so come on and dump it all in. Are you listening to me? So one of the ways is to give. The second is do good with what you have. Oh, God is big on that. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hands to do it. Do good with what you have. The same verse in a different translation says, do all you can for everyone who deserves your help. God is watching. He's checking out, what are you doing with what you have? Are you doing the right thing with it? Or are you wasting it, mismanaging it, not monitoring it? Do good with what you have, and I assure you, it will attract the attention of God, and it will cause you to expand your capacity. The third thing I would say is be generous and kind with what you have. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:6, you can write it down, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sow bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Be generous and be kind. That will increase your capacity. And the next and last one I'll give you is don't keep what God tells you to release. Please note that down in your spirit and never forget that. Don't keep what God tells you to release. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Everyone, please, Luke chapter 12. So you want to increase your capacity. Number one, give. Number two, do good with what you have. And number three, be generous and kind with what you have. And number four, don't you dare keep what God tells you to release. The last thing you want to do when you come to God and you lift your hands up is have a closed fist. Because you can't get anything with a closed fist. The lifting of your hands is the indication of two things. One, God, I submit. Another hand, God, I'm ready. Give it to me. My hands are open. Now look what Luke tells us to confirm the importance of not keeping what God tells you to release. In Luke chapter 12, and I want to start reading at verse 16. You got to follow me here. And he spake a parable unto them, said, a ground of a certain man which brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have so much room where to bestow all of my fruits and my goods. Man, I got so much. Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down more barns and build greater ones. And there I'm going to bestow and put all of my fruits and my goods. 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, go ahead and relax. Go on vacation. Thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take a break. Take thy ease and eat and drink and be happy. But look at verse 20. But God said unto him, now, didn't say this master or this so-called person. It says God said. Are you listening? Everybody watch me now. Usually, sometimes Jesus gives parables. He says certain, this one, the master, the Lord. But he said God said. God was engaged and involved in watching how this person was handling what they had. He says, you fool, this night thy soul shall be quiet of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I heard someone once say many years ago, be careful, because sometimes God will demand the one thing that you love the most. And as we can see, he loved his money. He loved his prosperity. He loves all of the abundance that he had. He loved his plenteous. But he didn't think of God. And all that he had stored was passed on to somebody else. Do not keep what God tells you to release if you want your capacity to increase. Last and third one, another way to increase with the increase of God is to lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, everybody, Matthew 6. We're going to end it here. Is to lay up treasures in heaven. This certain man, he forgot the source. He forgot it was God who provided him the strength and the energy, the power to get wealth. And so he went along and said, you know what? I've done this all by myself. I am where I'm at, where I am today. I got to where I got today. The promotion that I've gotten in my life is because of me. And he forgot totally about God. He forgot to give back to God. He forgot, let's say, to store up some treasure in heaven. And God said, your soul is now required of you because all you thought about was you and not my purposes and my plans. So let me say this again. To increase with God, you have to lay up treasure in heaven. In the book of Matthew, we'll end it here, chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, lay up not for yourselves treasure upon the earth where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves. Let me repeat that. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Last verse. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Somebody say, I want to increase with God's increase. Let me ask a question. Don't answer. Just listen. Then where are you storing your treasures? Where are you storing your treasures? Where are you giving your tithe, or are you giving your tithes at all? Your offering. Where are you storing your treasures? It is no question that God wants to increase you. But what are we doing to prepare ourselves for that increase? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I want you to close your books, close your Bibles at this time. Would you please stand to your feet? You've heard it said many times, and I know you heard other preachers say it and other people mention it, and I'm sure I've said it many times myself. How much God wants to do in our lives. Scripture tells us that there's no argument there, that God has made promises, and he's a God of covenant, and he keeps his word. But at the end of the day, what are we doing to make sure that those promises come to pass, those blessings come to pass, that that increase that is promised in the word of God happens in our lives? Why wait for it 5 years from now? Why wait to go to heaven and look at all of the things that you could have received while on earth, when in fact you can have heaven on earth in so many ways? I'm convinced of that. That's been a part of my life experience. And what God has done for me, he wants to do for you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
He wants to increase you. And what better source to get your increase from? Where the scripture says, when God blesses and makes one rich, you don't have to be sorrowful. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel ashamed. Just say, it was God. It was God who promoted me. It was God who took me out of that clay and that mud, and he put my feet on solid ground. I want to pray for you today. And I want to challenge you today to break away from that mindset where you have not been persuaded enough to believe the word of God. You've confessed it, I know, and you've said it, and maybe you repeated it today as I ask you to repeat things after me, but you have not been fully persuaded in your heart. And I'm not saying this as an insult to some of you. I'm saying it to challenge you, because you got to start living like you deserve increase. Glory to God. You got to start living like you deserve it. Forget about your naysayers and your critics. They talk about you when you're down, they're going to talk about when you're up. They talk about you when you ain't got much, they're going to talk about you when you get much. Forget about your naysayers and your critics. Father, we are grateful. Lord, what else needs to be said? You've made it very clear to us, time and time again, that you want to do so much more in our lives. And you want to give us so much more. For whatever reason, Lord, there has been a delay, whether it been of our own doing or a lack of knowledge. We ask today that you will renew everything, that you will restore us and bring us back to that place where we can walk strictly in faith and trust everything that you say in your word, that we will not allow the challenges and the crisis of life determine whether we're going to believe you or not. You said it very clearly in your word, that we should not lean to our own understanding. But in all of our ways, not most, but in all of our ways, if we will just acknowledge you, you will direct our path. And in the end, we will be just like a tree, just planted by a river that will constantly bring water. And there will be prosperity, there will be increase. We will continue to grow to the point where we will be a blessing to our children's children. That is the desire and the goal. I pray for every person that is here today and those who are listening on the sound of my voice, whether it be online or radio, I come in agreement with you. I link up my faith with your faith. And I declare in Jesus' name that the prosperities of God belongs to you, that the increase of God shall come unto you, and that even strangers shall come and give into your life, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I declare that you are increasing your capacity. You are increasing your capacity to receive all of what God has for you. That your portion shall come unto you. You will not die until you experience your promised land. I declare in Jesus' name that from this day forth, whatever you shall put your hands to shall prosper. For I wish above all things that thou shalt prosper and be in health, even as your soul do prosper. This I pray and ask in the precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Can you all say amen? Come on and bless your God then. Hallelujah.